night Farmer Brown was taking the air, locked up the barnyard with the greatest of care. Down in the hen house something stirred when he shouted, "Who's there?" This is what he heard: "There ain't nobody here but us chickens. There ain't nobody here at all. So calm yourself and stop that fuss. There ain't nobody here but us. We chickens trying to sleep and you butt in and hobble, 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 hobble with your chin. There ain't nobody here but us chickens. There ain't nobody here at all. You're stomping around and shaking the ground. You're kicking up an awful dust. We chickens trying to sleep and you butt in and hobble, 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 hobble. It's a sin. Tomorrow is a busy day. We got things to do. We got eggs to lay. We got ground to dig and worms to scratch. It takes a lot of setting, getting chicks to hatch. Oh, there ain't nobody here but us chickens. There ain't nobody here at all. So quiet yourself and stop that fuss. There ain't nobody here but us. Kindly point that gun the other way and hobble, hobble, hobble off and hit the hay.
Liberation Station Radio Show. Ain't no chickens here today. Maybe you're raising chickens. Maybe you're raising some other kind of poultry. So.
Sorry, folks. Welcome to the February 5th, 2023 Liberation Station Radio Show. I'm Chris Steiner, and there are no chickens here. But we'll tell you how to feed your poultry if you're raising maybe chickens or quail. And sorry about the intro there, folks. It's just a little clever way to make you wonder what's going on with the show. Well, we'll talk about some poultry feed and get into some other news. Want to mention the calls are welcome, and I know some of those listeners who will object to eating eggs from those thermophilic creatures, the poultry, that they carry germs. And well, yeah, that might be true, but you know, if you're already raising them, I think, and you're maybe have a good immune system and a good biological terrain, oxygenation, and in nutrition, then you're going to be able to fight those things. I really would just rather raise them for the eggs, not for eating them so much. And so I'll get into my homemade feed on poultry. Your calls are welcome at 512-248-8252, 512-248-8252. And toll-free 800-313-9443, 800-313-9443. And the Facebook live stream is at facebook.com/WeAreChangedTampa. That's facebook.com/WeAreChangedTampa. And I'm going to go check the audio now and then share it over to the Republic Broadcasting Facebook page. facebook.com/Republic Broadcasting. Next time I can take a breath and play a clip or have a moment, and don't want to slow down my Skype connection here, but I'm connected on the same computer on which I am surfing, so it's a little slow. And also in the chat room, I'll be joining you. That is on the listen/archives page at theliberationstation.com, or you can just go to theliberationstation.chatandgo.com. Thanks, Mer Bailey, making it in the same style custom as the other RBN chat rooms at chatango.com. That's chatango.com. The Liberation Station dot chat and that's ango.com. And also at the top of the listen/archives page at theliberationstation.com, I've changed the players. I've added a couple players. I've added the main RBN secure player on there. Found the embed code. I was able to embed that onto my webpage. So I put that in the TuneIn player, the TalkStream Live player, the Listen by phone numbers. But if you want all the Listen Live options, go to RBN, RBN's website at republicbroadcasting.org/listen-live. listen-live after that. And, or just click on the Listen Live page. And they have all the ever-changing, ever-improving ways in which to listen. And trying to get over to the chat room right now. My computer is crawling along, even though I just rebooted it. It's had a slow time shutting down. It had the wheel spinning for a while, about a good 10 minutes. I hit Alt-Control-Delete, and then it shut down. Without any problem, it rebooted. So I think at least the computer is working, and I hope my audio is good. Now I am in the chat room. So good morning there, folks. And let's start with the poultry ingredients that I found pretty helpful for the poultry feed that I found helpful for raising some quail, and especially with all the talk of the chicken feed being possibly tainted. I don't know if anyone has found what the ingredients are that's made the chickens produce fewer, smaller eggs, or have other side effects. If you want to let me know, I'd like to hear that. Or maybe Bob in Utah, or Mike in Kentucky. Don't want to call you out, but anytime you would like to comment on the show, or I'm sure you're able to. I've seen you post, Mike in Kentucky, on the thermophilic chickens and you know why they shouldn't be consumed. So I'm open to all sides of the food story. There's every food has its ups and downs, and not every food is good for everyone. So let's get started here. You know, the only poultry feed ingredients that I could find at my local feed store here in Largo, Florida, was Purina, that has a sodium aluminosilicate that's an anti-caking agent. And since I don't want to have Alzheimer's, chickens suffering Alzheimer's, or actually quail I was feeding it to, I decided to pass. And, you know, any kind of other neurological or physical problem from aluminum, they say it's bound, and it could be. You know, most of it, I think, is bound to the that's how it's naturally occurring in the Earth's crust, is aluminum bound to silicon, silicate. So I just wanted to avoid that. It's a needless ingredient, and if it's only for anti-caking. Now, I've raised my quail with black soldier flies from compost. That's a great source of protein. Since quail need about 30% protein, a little about 5% more than chickens, so I just let my organic compost have fair amount of liquid in it. It's quite inviting to the soldier flies. Strain them out, hose them off, strain them out, spray them off with a freshly ionized alkaline water. I put in a spray bottle and make sure they're nice and clean as can be, and maybe a little bit electrified. I wonder if we could do a Curlian photography study on the auras, to show the auras of these little grubs after you, before and after you spray them. Like we covered last week with Beverly Rubik, who I learned had done Curlian photography on the water itself, so showing that freshly ionized alkaline water had the most brilliant aura, even throwing off a spark that you can see on Curlian photography sometimes. And the mountain water had a nice bright aura, was a little bit not quite as bright, and the city water was the most dull. So I think that's that'd be a cool kind of an experiment to do on the grubs, on the soldier flies. And I also give the quail dark leafy greens and sprouts, a lot of which I found disposed of at my local health store, so don't have to grow them myself. Though I do rinse them off, and rinse them off twice, as I would for myself. But there's so much, a lot of it gets composted. A lot of the greens gets composted, fortunately, at the given away at the community garden here on my street. There's also food-grade diatomaceous earth, a little bit of that. You know, I've heard diatomaceous earth is the same as food-grade from a pool guy. I don't know if that's true or not. Multivitamin, that's most of which I found, say, disposed of at a reputable health store. Maybe a CVS or Walgreens have some decent ones sometimes, but some health stores have some decent supplements, and I just grind them up, put them in the feed. A little bit of multi-mineral from a microcrystalline hydroxyapatite supplement that increases, in humans, been shown to increase bone density up to 30% per year. And I like Gero's formulas brand. I also like MRM Bone Maximizer 3 and Now formulas. They all have good cofactors of other supplements to help absorption, help basically serve as multi-minerals. So grind up a little bit of that, as well as organic eggshells that are blenderized to make a powder. Put those in a blender. They're about 95% calcium carbonate. Some non-GMO brewer's yeast. And essential fatty acids from organic hemp seed oil, a little dash of that, or chia seed, because they're the only land plants of which I know that have the right balance of omega-3, 6, and 9 essential fatty acids. Fish oil does, but it's either refined and has the mercury taken out, molecular distillation is the process, and has a lot of the good properties removed as well, or you can buy a product that has like whole omega, or whole mega, I think it's called, that's a whole fish oil. So if you want all the benefits and the contaminants, you can do that, but I just don't know of any good source of fish, so I'm going to go with the land sources. Sunflower seed lecithin is the last item I have here, and that's just to emulsify the essential fatty acids and the other fats. And of course, wheatgrass. Should throw in there any kind of sprouts or wheatgrass. They love wheat sprouts. Sprouted after just a few days, they look like bugs to the birds because they have the four little sprouts coming off and the stalk that's starting to form, so it looks like a little four-legged creature. And you can give them the grass as well, so you can grind that up or juice it, and preferably give the wheatgrass sprouts a little bit of exposure to sunlight in order to form some chlorophyll and help unlock the nutrients. So there's my poultry feed formula. Someone was mentioning another way to feed them was to soak. On another talk show I was listening to, they're saying to soak the grain and feed them just the grain that's been soaked. And it reminded me that that's what Ann Wigmore calls Rejuvelac, is the liquid after you've soaked something, a grain, a seed, bean, grain, or whatever, in order to sprout it for about 8 hours is usually all it takes. And the water that you've used to soak those seed beans or grains is then cultured and made into Rejuvelac. So if folks want to look up that formula, it's called Rejuvelac. The Hippocrates Institute puts that out, which Ann Wigmore, the late Ann Wigmore, had formulated, and she died trying to save all her valuable pioneering research on sprouts and wheatgrass. She died in the fire, so she was so dedicated and such a benefit on such simplistic things that with modern technology we can discover. I think the wheatgrass, especially the ancient wheats, are the single best thing you can do for a multivitamin, and you can grow it in your own yard. I noticed Kamut wheatgrass juice powder actually has almost precisely the same nutrient profile on each and every item as spirulina. So I found that was fascinating. And there's some other ancient wheats, but I like Kamut, and you know, they're a bit higher in carbs, and they're a lot easier to tolerate for people who are gluten intolerant. Let's see, there's einkorn, effen, spelt, triticale, and I might be leaving one of those out. So I know there's a Purdue University study on that. Let me just look that up if I can, really quick. Ancient wheats, and you know, they really cover, if I can find this article, they really cover how the ancient wheats are so much different than modern wheats, hybridized wheats that are hybridized in order to have a higher gluten content, and they're a lot smaller than the ancient meats too. They're about half the size, a third the size, and not sure if I'm able to find that at the moment, but I hadn't been planning to. Got to satisfy my own curiosity here. So, yeah, here we go. Alternative wheat cereals as food grains, einkorn emmer, spelt knut, and triticale. This is from 1996. GF Stalnecht, KM Gilbertson, and GE Rainey put this out. And that's an interesting study if folks want to look that up. Alternative wheat cereals as food grains, einkorn emmer, spelt knut, and triticale. And a great book on Kamut that I found is by Betty Kamen, a PhD, in Ancient Grain for a Healthy Future. I believe that's another one I hadn't intended to mention on the air, but that is the title, Kamut and Ancient Grain for a Healthy Future, and you can find it still on book retailers online. So, yeah, I think grains are a good idea, but sprout them if you have the chance. And, if you need sprout as an emergency survival preparedness food, then you don't have enough time to wait to sprout in order to eat. So you could keep on hand some sunflower seeds and quinoa seeds, since those sprout after just about 8 hours. If you soak them, they're already started sprouting. And then... And because they are so high in starch, you want to rinse them pretty often, maybe twice a day, two or three times a day. Unlike other things like grains and seeds, you only have to rinse those once or twice until you plant them, if you're going to plant them. But you can take the quinoa, put that out in the sunlight, and it'll start photosynthesizing chlorophyll pretty quickly. And you take the white quinoa, it'll photosynthesize the green on one end, the green chlorophyll on one end. The white will be in the middle still, and the red will be on the other end, red rutin. So that's another valuable bioflavonoid. Makes it look very Christmassy or like an Italian flag. If you want to have sprouts that are colored like that, it just takes 2 or 3 days, and sprout them after 8 hours. Soak them 8 hours, rinse them, keep rinsing them 2 or 3 times a day, put them out in the sunlight. Doesn't take a whole lot of sunlight, at least 3 hours, and then you really don't want to put them in direct sunlight too much. If you're afraid of too much heat, if they're in a cool place, that's pretty safe. And another tip I just thought I should mention, haven't mentioned on the show before, for wheatgrass is if you're going to make an enclosure for it, make sure it's dark so it will try to reach for the sunlight. If it doesn't have any light, it'll engage in its phototropism, trying to reach for whatever light it can. And at least 3 days before you're going to use it, juice it, eat it, or whatever, then bring it out in the sunlight for at least 3 hours. And then at least 3 days later, you'll have plenty of chlorophyll formed. It'll start out looking like this creepy yellow, tall, creepy yellow grass, and you'll be amazed how fast it turns green. We'll be back on Liberation Station Radio Show with the news, and if you'd like to reach us, we'll take your calls. Because there's nowhere you can run and still feel safe. I think the world's gone crazy. I think the world's gone crazy. I think the world's gone crazy. Yeah. I think the world's gone crazy. Who wants to go with the angry rage? I do. Who wants the world with the kid to be safe? I do. Who wants to pray for the end of the pain? For the calm at the end of the day. Where the sky always going to stay.
Consider this. Dead people see only what they want to see. And frankly, most of us are still dead. Let me give you the lessons of gold and 5 easy lessons. Number 1, don't buy it because you need to make money. You buy gold because you need to protect the money you already have. Don't ever look at the price as a barrier. Look at it as an incentive. Number three, don't buy its paper pretenders. We talked about that a lot. Buy gold. Buy the real thing in the form of coins and bullion. Fourth, don't fall prey to glitzy television or Facebook ads. Do your due diligence instead. And that's what I try to provide you with and have for 26 and a half years on the air. And 30 years.
Back, Liberation Station Radio Show. Chris Steiner with you, and I think Bill Gates is to blame for all the technical issues. If truth be known, yeah, I know it's, there's a software miss. We all have software issues. The things get adjusted that shouldn't on my computer often. So I'm not going to blame any software. It all comes down to Microsoft, and maybe should go over to Linux. It's just terrifying what I'm seeing with the videos with how much spyware Windows 11 is, and if anybody wants, maybe I should drop those in the chat, find those really quick, and I think I have them in my research notes here, but basically how they're trying to turn your computer into a something that you rent. So, there's a Liron Segev has a good YouTube channel. people how to learn how to deworm their computers. Don't let Microsoft get away with this. Windows 11 not requiring a MS account. That's an interesting video. Again, Liron Segev, Windows 10 security settings to change. And sounds like that's a lot of security settings, just what they said on default. And Windows 11 must be stopped. Veteran PC repair shop owner's dire warning. The channel on YouTube is Jody Bruchon, J-O-D-Y. Bruchon is B-R-U-C-H-O-N. That was a very good video that really got me interested. It's a plethora of videos, and really has me concerned. And I forgot to mention at the start of the show, the title of that bumper music was Louis Jordan's 1947 hit, Ain't Nobody Here But His Chickens. I think that'd be great. Some audio alert music for whenever my security camera gets triggered, and say somebody's walking by the window, and every time they walk by they notice that gets played. I had a mischievous neighbor who enjoyed triggering my camera. Well, he pretended to enjoy it when I overheard him talking to another neighbor who happened to be an unfortunate squatter, but in reality he really didn't like my security camera. But I had my speakers on at all times. There's a lot of suspicious activity, and that was that's another very good security tip. If you want other people to know from a distance that if if they get close, they're going to trigger something, and who knows what audio alerts they're not triggering because they're being watched by other cameras. Let's see here. What will we get into next? I think, Sam, let's get into this this clip from Dr. Paul Thomas from his podcast, With the Wind. It used to be called Against the Wind. Now he's retitled it for the new year, With the Wind, Science Revealed. And this was the show from the from January 26th, where he interviews Josh Gutskow, Associate Professor of Sociology and Criminology at Hebrew University of Jerusalem. And he talks about his great research into how the in statistical analysis into how the CDC just we'll have to get back to it after the break here. How the CDC knew that they were going to have many more. They were expecting many more deaths from the COVID shots. And this great statistical analysis, there's a great statistical analysis of his, I'll mention when we get back to the break, that I pointed out, posted on the RBN Facebook page about, I think it was about 4 or 5 days or less after he had posted it on a Substack page. And so I'll get back and mention that because that's a great statistical analysis, even being cited by Dr. Peter McCullough. So join us when we get back. You can call in if you want to break in before we start playing that clip at 512-248-8252 or 800-313-9443. We'll be right back.
Standing in line for the vaccine shot. I hope I get mine, cause believe it or not, I think I might die, guess I take what they got. My brain's too fried, so I give it no thought, no thought. Cause the FDA said it's safe for me. The drug companies claim that it's made for me. And the government, they're gonna pay for me.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company? And it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks.
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive. Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Welcome to the revolution. All the walls are breaking down. It's time you had a taste of losing. Time the tables turned around. I see a glimpse of the recognition, but it's too little, it's too late. And what you thought was your best decision just became your worst mistake.
It is sweeter. The truth is coming out, folks, and I'm so glad that we have this clip of so many admissions as well. Things like this clip coming up, but you know, you have Scott Adams, who is the author, or the creator of Dilbert, the cartoonist, saying that we win as anti-vaxxers, and I really don't feel like we won. We got to beat the filthy pharma fascists, and that's really when we've won, if we've all beaten them and uprooted them from our governments, controlling our governments, mandating us to take a shot that has no liability, and you know, they're making record profits. Yeah, we have a disease crisis, and the insurance companies and the pharma companies are making record profits. We have an oil crisis, and they're making record, the oil industry is making record profits all the while. Any kind of a crisis, whatever kind of industry that we have, those industries are always making record profits. It's not about the science, it's about following the money. So really glad to have Josh Gupskow, associate professor of sociology and criminology at Hebrew University of Jerusalem, in this clip here from the interview he did with Dr. Paul Thomas, and that's from his podcast, With the Wind, Science Revealed, January 6, 2023, show number 84. And this is about a half hour, about 25 minutes or a little less, so I've been told we're going to skip the break. Sam, when you're ready, please roll that clip.
Well, welcome, Josh Gupskow. It is such a privilege to have you back on With the Wind, The Science Revealed, formerly Against the Wind, Doctors in Science Under Fire. Folks, today, what Josh is going to present is exactly why I am changing the title of this show. After you see this information, there is no question. It's no longer about us needing to prove to anybody else that these vaccines are a problem. The data's out. He's going to share it. It's now up to anybody else who thinks that vaccines are safe. Prove it to us. Prove us that we are wrong, that these shots are actually safe. So that's why we're now with the wind. Welcome to the show.
All right. I love it. I love it. With the wind.
With the win. So you are, just for people who may not know you, you have a background in criminology. You teach in Israel. You have extensive research in science, in medicine, in epidemiology. And you're not an epidemiologist, but you understand science. This is in your wheelhouse and part of your background training. You have an incredible Substack for people who want to really go and dive into to see your writing. And everything you're going to present is available at Jack and Apes. That's the name of
That's right, jackandapes.substack.com. That's right.
Yep. So anything you want to go see for yourself, please check that out. Let's start briefly with the fact that you wrote about the FOIA contracts showing the CDC actually expected up to 1,000 times reports of adverse events.
Well, okay. So this was back in August 2020. Somebody got FOIA'd the contracts with General Dynamics, which is a weapons company, which the CDC hired to do the VAERS data and processing for COVID-19 vaccines. They usually get 1,000 reports a week. They were expecting 1,000 reports every day for COVID-19 vaccines. And this was back in August of 2020, months before the vaccine was even given the emergency use authorization. Not only that, They usually get about 5% of the reports are serious adverse events. They were expecting 40% of the reports to be serious adverse events. They contracted General Dynamics for $10 million for 1 year to do this. By wow. March, by end of February, they realized that they had totally underestimated and they tripled the amount of money that they were paying to General Dynamics to take care of the huge backlog that had been created just by the end of February.
I don't know if you caught that. The CDC, the Center for Disease Control, who we thought was there to protect us, the public, and to help with the wellness and health of our population, actually already knew prior to this vaccine even being injected into a single arm that there was going to be a disaster of side effects. So now we can go into this next issue where you really blow this out of the water. I know you were involved in the research and the analysis of the CDC's own COVID vaccine safety signals back from July of 2022. You helped in this analysis. This was published in Epoch Times. And again, it's on your Substack.
Right.
Tell us about that.
Okay. So just a quick background, right? So maybe regular viewers will remember, I did a safety signal analysis using the CDC's methodology in 2021. Then we FOIA'd the CDC asking them, where is the safety signal analysis that you promised to do? And they came back and said, we didn't do it. And then Zach Stieber at Epoch Times got on the story and he said, what do you mean you didn't do it? What do you have? And they went back and forth. Eventually, what they said was, okay, we did do it. We started it at the end of March 2022, 15 months after the rollout of the vaccines, until late July 2022. And when he asked to see what the results were, they said, well, we're not going to share them with you. But they were basically similar to the safety signal analysis that the FDA had been doing. They said we didn't find any new unexpected adverse events. Then he turned to the FDA and said, can we have yours? And they said, no, we're not going to share with you. So he FOIA'd the CDC for their safety signal analysis. And that's what we're talking about. I had no role in the analysis. This is all straight from the CDC. I just took it and kind of tried to make sense of it.
Okay. I just have to highlight one thing you said that just is mind-boggling. Again, as to why we can no longer, should never, ever, ever trust the CDC again. They said that this data that Josh is about to present to you revealed no unexpected safety signals.
Yes.
Wow. So, I mean, the safety signal is so powerful, as you're about to show us. Right. So jump into that.
All right. So basically, I'm going to share. So what you're going to about to see here is an Excel file. This is straight from the CDC. Okay. This is what their spreadsheet looks like. And on this column here, you have the first column. You have all of the different adverse events. And then the yellow column, that's the safety signal. Okay. And this is a measure called the PRR, the proportional reporting ratio, okay? And this is very simple, the way this is calculated, okay? You simply take the percent You take an adverse event report, a type of adverse event for that's reported for COVID vaccines, okay, say myocardial infarction. You say, what percent of all the adverse event reports for COVID vaccines were myocardial infarction? And then you compare that to previous vaccines that are considered safe, okay? You say, well, what percent of those reports for those other vaccines were for myocardial infarction? Okay. And then you create a ratio of those two percentages. So, and you have this proportional reporting ratio.
Okay. So if I understand this correctly, you're looking at all other vaccines combined, how much myocarditis they were reporting against just this COVID jab. And if the ratio was one, in other words, they were equal, we would see a number of one.
That's exactly right. If they're equal, that's one, there's no safety signal. They want a right. safety signal that's at least two. Okay, and that's statistically significant, meaning basically what it means is that there's enough reports that it becomes statistically significant. And those are the two most important criteria. Okay.
Awesome. So we go back to your chart. We see safety signals in the 100.
So what's the summary? What's kind of, okay, so what you said, all other vaccines. So basically they're comparing reports. This is only the mRNA COVID vaccines. They're comparing it to the reports for all other non-COVID vaccines since 2009. And I'm mainly focusing here on the analysis they did of the 18 plus. Okay, people are 18 years and older. But later we'll talk about teenagers and kids. Okay, so they're comparing the reports for adults to reports for adults. Okay, and they found 770 safety signals. Statistically significant safety signals. According to their own protocol, they should be going through and looking at each one of these. They have other data and other methods to follow this up, right? This is what VAERS is for. It's to alert them to safety signals. This is the early warning system that they always tell us is so amazing. They bragged about it to the government officials prior to the rollout of vaccines. We have this early warning system, but they waited 15 months to use it. Okay. Now, 2/3 of all of the safety signals that they found have a safety signal that is larger in size than the signal for myocarditis. So over 500 of these safety signals are blaring louder than myocarditis, which is something that they have admitted is the risk is increased after the vaccines. It is caused by the vaccine. So at minimum, they should be looking at all of the safety signals that are larger than that, right?
Right. Josh, I have to point something out. In medicine, we have this thing where when there are – you come as a patient with a symptom. Sometimes it's a diagnosis, it's a condition, you had a heart attack, or maybe it was just chest pain or whatever the symptom may be. And as a doctor, we have to figure out what caused it. You know, first of all, can you figure out what caused it? Then you figure out what to do about it. There, you've just pointed out there are over 500 safety signals. Those are conditions or symptoms that it is clear, so statistically significant, that the vaccine is likely the cause. Now, obviously, you don't prove causation with one report, but this level of significance is so powerful. Pretty much, folks, if you have anything happening to you medically, your first thought should be, did I get the jab? And if I did, that's number one suspect. You have to start thinking about it. And when I read reports, I don't see any mention of vaccine status, which is a complete sham if you're going to publish research today and not mention the vaccine status as relates to COVID.
Absolutely. And, you know, the onus is on them to show that the vaccine doesn't cause it, right? The way that they approach this is that the safety signal is meaningless until we can prove otherwise. And then they don't bother trying to actually prove or examine it one way or another. But the precautionary principle tells us, no, we need to assume that this is causal.
Yep.
Right.
And that's why I say, prove us wrong
one by one and prove that it isn't if we want.
Yeah. Prove us wrong. You're about to present now. Just blast through the data. These are some of the safety signals.
Let's go through this quickly. And then I want to talk about, because people who talk are going to show this to their friends and they're going to say, well, and then the friends are going to come up and they're going to tell them why VAERS is problematic. And there's important things that they need to know and to be able to respond to that type of criticism. Okay, so let's just look at These are, I'm taking all of the safety signals, just the safety signals, all of the adverse events, and I've categorized them. Okay, I did this on my own. It might not be perfect. I found something that I could have, you know. But basically you have, and then all of those safety signals for all of these different categories, how many adverse events in total were reported? So we see the largest number of reports for cardiovascular, mainly cardiac related.
70,000.
Yes. And these are just the safety signals. This is not like everything that's invariant, okay? Then there's neurological, thromboembolic, which basically is blood clotting, right? Pulmonary, that's your chest, lung related, menstrual problems, death. There's a huge safety signal for death. Hemorrhaging, gastrointestinal problems, hematological problems, immunological. I think I have something here. I don't know, something on my slide that shouldn't be there, but okay, it doesn't matter. And all the way down to cancer. Okay, you got hematological, immunological cancer. Now let's look at some of these categories. What do some of these categories include? Let's look at cardiovascular. So the number one thing in cardiovascular is atrial fibrillation, which is a huge risk, a huge problem, because you can have like clotted blood that builds up in part of the one of the parts of your heart, and then is suddenly released and creates a deadly blood clot. Yeah. There are other reasons why atrial fibrillation is a bad thing, right? It's not just that, but irregular heartbeats, myocarditis, cardiac failure, cardiac arrest, on and on. Ventricular extrasystoles is basically a premature contraction of the heart, which can be okay, but depending on the frequency and if it goes along with other cardiac problems, there's a huge risk for sudden cardiac arrest. Okay.
Yeah. I have to just point out to the listener, you have this magnitude of heart issues. Many of these can be fatal. Do you have any wonder what's causing all these top athletes to just simply drop dead, or at least some of them are near death and get resuscitated? And we hope, you know, for those who get resuscitated that they'll have a good outcome. But here's the proof of what's the cause.
By the way, there was a safety signal for resuscitation in the data. Like they were like over 1,000 reports of people who had died have been resuscitated.
Yep.
Blood clotting, thromboembolic. So you got your generic thrombosis, cerebrovascular accident, which is another word for a stroke caused by a blood clot, basically. Pulmonary embolisms, which are deadly, right? Myocardial infarctions, when you have a blood clot to the artery of your arteries feeding blood to your heart. Also deadly. All of these are basically pretty much deadly. Transient ischemic attack is another kind of mini stroke that you have. This may be not deadly, but next time maybe it would be, right? And
So folks, this is this whole, some people call it the clot shot. There is something going on. We presented it in last week's show that shows that the coagulation, the accumulation of the red blood cells into massive clots is triggered by spike protein. And yes, we're seeing it. You're showing the data.
And then here we've got neurological problems. We've got tinnitus, which a lot of people complain about. Even there was a letter that a federal employee wrote to the CDC saying, I've got it, tinnitus. We're in a group. We've got all this evidence. We need to go for it. And the head of the CDC VAERS program, John Hsu, this is from a FOIA email. He instructs the employee, says, tell him thank you and cut him off. Cut him off, right? A federal employee. It's just shocking the disregard that these bureaucrats have for people's health and well-being. And then, we go down the list. Paresthesias, the two big ones that triggered a safety signal are oral paresthesias. These are like tingling, or you get like needles poking sensation. This is the one that when you ask the vaccine injured if they could take one thing off of their symptom list, paresthesia is the top. Okay. Bell's palsy, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. So then we go, let's go down. Then we've got menstrual issues, all different kinds of menstrual issues. We know about this. This is finally, after like a year and a half, they finally admitted that, yes, this is caused by the vaccine, but it's very limited, very short-lived, which is not true. We know that already, right? Right. And then we've got the hemorrhaging. You've got all these hemorrhaging. So you've got blood clots on one hand, you've got hemorrhaging on the other. It's just causing all kinds of problems. And then you've got the gastrointestinal colitis is number one. This is like a really bad problem with your intestines. Appendicitis is number two, and that's interesting.
That was shocking to see that. I had no idea there would be a link, but it makes sense. Itis is inflammation, and this is really causing a lot of inflammation.
And some of it is combined in, like, for the younger ages, they're like perforated appendix, appendectomies are also safety signals. So these are very serious cases. And in fact, there was a study done on Israeli electronic medical records data, which is problematic in many respects. But one of the things that they actually found was risk increase after the vaccine was appendicitis. So here we have, in addition to myocarditis, in addition to menstrual problems, we have this other validation that these safety signals are not just flukes. It's not just people putting in fraudulent reports or whatever. These are genuine, you know, signals that really need to be taken serious.
Yeah. And I know you've got just very briefly some data on children, but
here's our 12 to 17 years. Now here we don't have thousands of safety signals. We have 96, which in addition to myocarditis and pericarditis that we would expect, we have some bad ones like Bell's palsy, genital ulcerations, cardiac valve incompetencies, which is basically another term for heart failure, pulmonary embolisms. Oh, there we see it again, appendicitis, right? So, I'm not going to go through all of these. You can see them on the screen.
And even 5 to 11-year-olds, I think you had 66.
Yes, so now here we have 66 safety signals, including many of these other ones. Now, the other thing to remember about a safety signal is that if a certain adverse event had never been reported for other vaccines, okay, it will never show up as a safety signal, even if you had thousands or tens of thousands of reports for the new vaccine, for the COVID vaccine. So one reason, and this is something I need to look into more, one reason we might be seeing fewer safety signals for these age groups is because there's a bunch of things that do show up, but they don't count as safety signals because they never showed up with older vaccines.
Yeah. Who's heard of a five to nine year, having a heart attack, for example.
Right. Cardiac valve. How many other vaccines would you associate with a cardiac valve incompetency for 5 to 11-year-olds,
right?
Or menstrual irregularities for 5 to 11-year-olds? Are you serious?
Yeah, right? which is why we really, going forward, we should be always looking at all health outcomes, without a doubt.
Oh, yeah,
all
absolutely.
Health outcomes.
So let me just say something.
Josh, go ahead and sorry I interrupted you. Go ahead and talk about the complaints or the pushback we're going to get.
So basically the pushback on VAERS is essentially like either the reports are unreliable, they're fraudulent, or there are so many, they're artificially inflated because people are worried, because of anti-vaxxers, because people didn't know about VAERS, all of these kinds of things. So first of all, if they were unreliable, then why is it that the CDC has published papers using VAERS data in the top medical journals? Right, you don't do that with unreliable data. Moreover, when they published their paper on myocarditis reports, they found that 80% of them were reliable and full enough to, or complete enough to include in their paper. So, are we supposed to believe that the myocarditis reports are reliable? And by the way, they said they're underreported, not overreported. People weren't exaggerating the reports for myocarditis or increasing them, which you might expect because people are worried about, they've heard about myocarditis. No. So if these were not reliable enough, are we supposed to believe that only the myocarditis reports are reliable and none of the other ones are? It doesn't make sense. This artificial inflation of reports. Well, first of all, the safety signal analysis doesn't really rely on the number of reports. It relies on the proportion of reports for a particular adverse event out of all reports for adverse events. And in fact, if you have an inflation of reporting, it would tend to minimize the safety signals, not inflate them. So that's the first thing. But the second thing is, If you look at what they're comparing COVID vaccines to all other vaccines that have been given since 2009. I did a little back of the envelope calculation. There were at least twice as many other vaccines, mainly flu vaccines, given to adults since 2009. So if you're talking that it's a numbers game, you're going to lose that argument, because the other vaccines are far more in number than the COVID vaccine. So, right.
And despite that,
there are other arguments. People can go to my website and look. I go through these very carefully, but those are kind of the key ones.
Yeah, thank you for that. I mean, we know the Harvard Pilgrim study found that the VAERS data was underreported by 100 times.
Right.
This may not be that magnitude, but it's up there.
Oh, yeah. I believe for many adverse events, it is at least that.
I just want to, as we wrap this up, Josh, you teach criminology. It feels to me like something criminal is going on, but what's your take? What does this mean for us going forward?
Well, we'll just keep you in suspense until the second and final hour of this February 5th, 2022 Liberation Station radio show. I'm Chris Steiner, and we'll be right back for the last 3 or 4 minutes and then take your call.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available, and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.